number 10240, reel 2.
Mr. Card, reel 2, how close do you think the Ajax got to the brass bear?
Well, I couldn't go, couldn't tell you really, but more or less one of the seamen would tell you that because of the range of her, you know. She had 11 inch and we had 6 inch, so we had to get under her 11 inch, didn't we? You know, to get at her, you see. So.
But when you were shadowing, about how far
it seemed roughly about 5-6 miles, something like that, you know, roughly.
Was the visibility good?
Yes, yeah, visibility was good, yeah. Yeah, quite good.
Could you see the Achilles?
Yeah.
Was the Achilles to the port or starboard?
Well, we kept changing over a bit, like, you know. Where was it? I think we was starboard. I think it was on the port side. We was over on the starboard. I think she was on the port. Yeah.
And presumably you didn't see the Exeter?
No, because she had got damaged. Well, she got severely damaged, didn't she? And she was sort of out of action then and on the way back to the Falklands, you see. I did see her in the Falklands when we clued up down there later after the battle.
Once you got to Montevideo for the blockade, What could you see then, if anything?
Well, we did go up right up near the harbour and you could see the Graf's Bay in Montevideo, you know. And then we went sort of hanging around that, more or less the entrance, you know, a few miles away, waiting for her to come out. So all the time that was in there, we was just waiting outside all the time. And then the Cumberland joined us then, from the Falklands, she came up full speed.
Did you hear rumours of the arrival of much bigger ships?
Well, yeah. We heard rumours that they was coming up to join us, but of course we kept thinking, well, where are they, you know what I mean. But I think actually that was a bit of bluff, you know, more so to frighten the other side in a way, you know. Later on you realise it, don't you? You know, you don't at the time, but we say, well, where is it? I think it was a Renown coming or something, some big battle on the carrier as well, but I think they was about 1,000 miles away, something like that.
Did you see the Graf's Bay come out?
No. I was down below, and then of course we knew she was coming out, you know. We got the message that she was leaving harbour, coming out, and then of course we was all at action stations waiting, you know. And then they, oh, we're going to have another go. Mind you, our ammunition had gone low then as well, you know. Our ammunition was pretty low. But there again, we was going to have another go at it.
Did you know that ammunition was low at the time, or have you discovered that?
Well, no, we discovered it later, you know. We discovered that later.
What was the reaction when you heard that the Graf's Bay had scuttled herself?
Well, that was a relief, though. That was a big relief after about, what was it, 3 days in there or 4 days, you know. You're on tension, you're more or less that time, you know, think, well, we're going to have another go now, you know, what's going to happen, you know. But I suppose, you know, once it had blown itself up, they, oh, thank God for that sort of thing, you know.
Was there cheering?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we had a good old cheer with that. Because then we'd come up the river, River Plate, and then we went right round it, you know, went looking at it ourselves and think, oh, that's her then, that's finished us with her.
What did she look like?
Well, there's photos in there of it, you know, just right over on the side and all burning, all flames and smoke coming from her, but she was resting on the bottom, you know. But that was a big relief. You felt, oh, the tension had gone. The tension had gone, you know.
What did you think to the German crew of the grass pit?
Well, we didn't know them at all, did we? You know what I mean? It was our first scrap with them, but we didn't know them. They didn't know us.
Did you feel hostile to them or respect them or what?
Well, yeah, I suppose you respect your enemy in different things. You know what I mean? You went in action and so did they, so they are.
After the battle, what did the Ajax do?
I think, as I said, we went round it and looked at it, you know, and everything, and had a cheer, and old Harwood give a speech to us, Admiral Harwood.
What did he say?
Well, I said, it's all over now, you know, to everybody, sort of thing, and done a good job, sort of thing, and then we went from there down to the Falklands, and then, of course, that's when we picked up and saw the Exeter down there in the Falklands.
Did the Exeter look a shocking sight?
Oh yeah, she was all smashed up, yeah, because that was our chummy ship there, you know, the Exeter was, because we'd been in a lot of ports with her, the Exeter, around South America.
So was there any rivalry between the two ships?
No.
Did you go ashore in the Falklands?
Yes, I went ashore and had a drink. Port Stanley.
How did the Falkland Islanders receive you?
Well, there was only one pub there, and I suppose we more or less filled it up. I don't think we saw perhaps one or two of them, and that's about all, you know. I mean, when a cruiser goes ashore, there's quite a few men, isn't it, going ashore, and being one little pub there, we more or less filled it all.
Did the Falkland Islanders seem friendly?
Well, yeah.
What kind of a reception did you get in Britain after the battle?
Well, we come home from the battle and had leave. I had an invitation from the mayor of Ramsgate, and had to give a do for the local boys that was on it, you know, and on the River Plate. He gave us a sort of a tea, you know.
Going on to the summer of 1940, I think that you were involved with the evacuation from Dunkirk. Can you tell me how that came about?
Yeah, I was on the Ajax in Chatham Dockyard, and then, of course, all leave was stopped, and then they was calling out names of the men that would leave the next day, be leaving the ship. So, of course, my name was called out, and we left the next day in buses for Dover. Of course, when we got down at Dover, they marched us away and to the barracks there and fixed us up with 303 Enfield and ammunition, tin hat, water bottle, and marched us onto the destroyers to be the Navy rear guard at Dunkirk. But fortunately for us, that when we did get there, they wouldn't let us land. They said, no, we don't want you, we got enough getting them off, not you coming. So we didn't land at all, not at Dunkirk. So they sent us back, and then we went back to Dover in the barracks. Then the next thing, they took us down to Dover again, and we went on different ships to Dunkirk, helping them out, you know, and I went on the Worcester, Venomous of Vancouver, which were the old V&W destroyers, went down in the boiler rooms on them and helping the blokes out, you know, going over to Dunkirk and helping out and coming back to Dover and then back again in the barracks, have a rest and back on another one. So,
would you go over to the jetty at Dunkirk?
Yeah, we went along to the jetty. And of course, that's where we, you know, got the troops on board and then back to Dover. Then they took us back and gave us a meal and a rest in the barracks and back the next day for another one. And we had 3 days of that sort of thing, as I said, on the Worcester, Venomous and Vanquisher. And then they put us on to the Manxman, which was Isle of Man ferry boat. But fortunately, the evacuation was on its last legs then, finished, you know, so we didn't go over anymore.
What did the jetty at Dunkirk look like with all the troops on? Can you describe it?
Well, it's what you see on the old newsreel there, just the jetty there, and half, there's a bit of it blown away, and they were sort of staggering across some of it, you know, to get on board. Sometimes we anchored out a bit and they brought them off in boats, you know. There, some come in boats and some come off the jetty, you know. All depends if we could get along the jetty, you see, you couldn't always. But I was down below most of the time on there anyway, you know, in the boardrooms and that, helping the fellas out, giving them a rest, see.
What condition were they in when they came on board?
What, the troops? Well, they was all worn out and tired. We was just about the same too, I think, you know. I mean, all we done was, as I said, went over there and brought them back and went and had a meal and then had a bit of a kip and then back again, you know. So we was a bit worn out after about 5 days, I think, we had there, off and on.
Were any of them wounded that you saw?
No, they was nearly... We did bring a lot of French once, you know. One load was nearly all French we brought, you know.
French soldiers.
Yeah, I did see a little boat there from Ramsgate and I thought to myself, well, if this gets hit, I'll just about swim over to you and go home. I'll manage to swim over to you and get on board, you know. Perhaps you'll take me home.
Were any of the boats that you were on hit?
No. We was bombed, you know, coming back.
How crowded were these ships evacuating?
Yeah, they was really crowded everywhere. Yeah, they was all crowded. You put them everywhere, you know. All the messes full up, all up on deck, everywhere. You got as many as you could really, you know, load.
Did you take any civilians off?
No, I can't remember any civilians, no.
People, when they talk about Dunkirk, always mention the armada of little ships.
Mm.
Were there large numbers of little ships going across from your observation?
Well, yeah, there was quite a few there, but of course, my job, see, was more or less down below nearly all the time, so I didn't see all that much like a seaman would I, you know, when he's up there and he's seeing it all, isn't he? See, I'm up and down sort of thing, you know. I'll go up and have a quick look and back down again, like, you know. So.
How were the soldiers received when you got them back to England? What arrangements had been made?
Well, I don't know, because we just come into Dover, unloaded, and then back again. See, we just come alongside at Dover, let them all get off, and then back we went again. So, what happened, we got them there, we got them at Dover, that's it, go back for another lot.
How long did it take you to turn round at Dover?
Oh, not long.
An hour?
Hour and a half, back again.
Did you have to load up with anything at Dover in the way of provisions or anything of that kind?
No, we was all right for fuel and all that, you know. All fuel, because I mean it's not a long run, is it?
Did you have plenty of food and drink on board?
No, because we were just there and back, you know. I mean, when we did come in after the day there sort of thing, we'd go back up into the barracks, have a meal and a sleep and a kip, you know, and then of course the next day you're back on another one, different ship, see?
Did any of the troops say anything to you about what they'd been through?
No, not to me anyway, because I mean I just see them and coming all on board, you know, I mean, you were, what can I say, I didn't have a lot, most of them, the most we brought over was French, I think, we did bring a lot of French over, you know, but being down below, you know, you'll nip up for a little while and see them all coming on board, you know, and then you'll go down below again, see, so I didn't have all that much contact with them.
Were any of them accommodated down below in the boiler room?
Oh, they didn't come in the boiler rooms, so they was barred from there, but they was all in the mess decks, you know, on the way down to the... So you come up, you go through your mess decks and come down to your boiler room, but I mean all the whole ship, you know, was full of troops everywhere. You just had to sort of push through them to come down into the boiler rooms, you know, to get down there.
Did they just fall asleep once they...
Oh, yeah, they just laid out there and flaked out, you know, sort of glad to get somewhere to flake out.
So they weren't given food and drink on board?
Well, no, we some of them had some water, or some of them made cups of tea in the messes, you know, some of the lads did, but, I mean, you just couldn't feed all that lot, because your idea was just to get them off and get them home, you see. You couldn't give them a meal, because there was so much sort of action going on, you know.
Now, later on, I think you served in the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
What particular incidents stick out in your mind from your service in the Mediterranean?
Well, when Dunkirk was finished, I left Dover and went back to the Ajax in Chatham Dockyard again. Of course, I was still a member of the crew, and then, of course, we left there and went to the Mediterranean. Well, first of all, we went up to Scapa Flow to work up, and then we had an incident where one of the crews, I think it was a Naiad, broke away and smashed our bows in up at Scapa, and I think we went into Camel Lairs and or Liverpool. Yeah, and had our bows done, and then we left there, I think it was on the 24th of August, with a convoy for the Med, and I think it was on the 24th, because that day Ramsgate was bombed, and I thought to myself, I heard it on the news, and I thought, God, Christ, Ramsgate's bombed, I hope the missus and mum's alright sort of thing, you know, and of course we got on this convoy when we left the 24th of August and went round to Egypt, and of course you had to go down to Africa, South Africa, that was the first stop, and thought, well, we'll have a run ashore here, but we went alongside an oiler there, old ship, and they said there will be no leave, we're going straight out again, so of course we had no leave and we left there and come up the Indian Ocean up to Aden, old ship again there, no leave, and went through to the Suez Canal, at Red Sea to the Suez Canal into Alexandria, and then that was the first leave, like from Liverpool, and of course we were waiting for news from home, you know, but it was all 3 or 4 months later before I got a letter saying that was all okay at home, you know. I was a bit anxious because of hearing the news of the bombing there at Ramsgate, but eventually I did get a letter about 3 months later saying that I was okay from my girlfriend, you know, and then of course then we started going along with the 8th Army as they advanced through Libya. We was, the Navy was shelling all the seaports, Derna, Benghazi, all them, shelling them going along. And then that was with Wavell and his mob. and we're doing quite well actually, wiping the eye ties up, you know. And of course the next thing, the Germans come out there, old Rommel and his troops, didn't they, and pushed them all the way back. So of course that was the start then actually of all the big actions, you know, with the dive bombers, torpedo bombers, eye level bombers, Stukas, you name it, they had it. And everywhere we went then we was, you know, convoys to Malta or Tobruk, we really copped it, you know.
Can you tell me about the work that the Ajax was involved in when you were with her at the at Crete?
Yeah, well, before that was a Matapan one, wasn't it? We was in the Matapan, and then with Crete as well, we was started evacuating from Greece, Piraeus, and then one night they come over there and they was bombing at night. Half the crew was ashore. I was on board that night, and they set an ammunition ship alight. I could see it burning in the distance, you know. I was down below when the boys come down here, racing. Nip up there, there's an ammunition ship right over there on fire. So can't they put it out? I don't know, he said, it's all ablaze. And went over and had a look, you know. Oh God, you see all this big ammunition ship right over in the distance. And in the early hours of the morning, up it went, blew up, you know. It did kill a Marine on the Ajax, I don't know his name, but it killed a Marine. Shrapnel everywhere. Of course, when I went up later and had a look, there was everything was on fire all the way round, you know.
This was at Piraeus?
Piraeus, yeah. And then in the morning, they said they might have mined the harbour, you know. They said they might have mined the harbour, so we've got to go out very slow, you know. You mustn't bang or make a noise or anything, just in case they had, you know. So as we left the harbour, everything had to be slow as possible, no banging or any noise at all, just in case we upset a mine or anything, you know. So anyway, we got outside the harbour and of course went back to Alex then. But then from there the troops was evacuated from Greece to Crete, and then later on we had to take them from Crete as well, from Crete to Alexandria.
Where did you go into Crete?
Suda Bay.
What was the situation there when you got there?
Well, the matter was, you know, it seemed previous to that, when we did go into Suda Bay, we used to go there to an oil ship, you know. And it seemed as soon as we got alongside and all, so the bombers seemed to know all with our back again and come over and bomb us, you know, in Suda Bay. Anyway, at Crete, we got quite a few troops off there, you know, and we was working with the Orion at the time, and I remember going up with the Orion, and the Ajax got a near miss, and it smashed our crane for getting the boats over the side. We couldn't manoeuvre the crane for getting the boats off to get the troops off. So we was damaged a bit, you know, shrapnel and everything inside. As a matter of fact, one of my Ramsey friends were killed there at Crete, named Victor Smith. He was killed there. And so we had to turn back to go into Alexandria, and we got there, and then 2 days later in come the Orion, and she got 3 direct hits, and she was in hell of a state. Oh, of course I nearly cried when I saw her, you know. She was full of troops, 600 odd troops and the crew, and she got 3 direct hits. Oh God, I thought, look at it. I nearly broke down there and cried, you know. To think, because he was a chummy ship of ours, you know, same ship, sister ship.
What did it and look like?
Oh, it was hell of a state, you know, guns all over, and before, hell of a state. I've got a photograph of it in a book. Have you seen it?
You mean blood all over?
Well, no, the ship itself. You know, when you see a ship, all the guns are all over, and you know she was full of troops, you can guess what was when she got three direct hits. There was another Ramsey fella got killed on that as well. But when I saw it, oh, God, look, are we ever going to win this war, you know? Because at that time, after Crete, I mean, there were so many ships hit and sunk that the Itai fleet could have just come out and taken Egypt easy. There was really only about two or three ships that could really put up a fight. It was a matter that, you know, if they had known the state we was in, they could have really taken Egypt, you know, the Italian fleet.
I think you were telling me earlier that Crete was a lot more frightening than the Battle of the River Plate.
To me it was, yeah. Well, we got so much bombing, you know, early in the morning right up till late at night. It was bombed all the time. You had high-level bombers, you had torpedo bombers, you had Stukas, and they was the worst of a lot of the Stukas, you know. And then when you were down below, you're on the boilers, and then you're going full speed, you're going this way 1 minute, and you hear a shell come down there, and it shattered, you know. And then you, next minute you're over this way, you're zigzagging like that, to more or less miss the bombs, you know. So you're this side, bang, and then you go over this side, bang, and then you go over that side, zigzagging, bang, here, near misses, you know. Oh dear. That to me, Crete was worse than any action to me, the bombing.
Was that the worst part of the war for you?
For me, I think it was the worst part of the war, Crete was. Even Matapan, you know, didn't worry me, because I mean, even the big fleet, big battles were out firing at us then. Italians' biggest battleships were out there firing at us, but I don't know, that Crete seemed to really put the wind up me, or scare me to death, really. I didn't think I would come out of Crete, actually. Never thought I'd come away.
So it sounds as though being in action against planes was worse than being in action against other ships.
Yeah, to me. Yeah. The bombing was, to me, was more frightening. Then it didn't worry me all that much, action. You know, not enemy ship. I'd rather go against enemy ships fighting than a real dive bombing attack, because they was really hot, you know, them dive bombers. They knew what they was doing, them Stukas.
Were there any other incidents that happened to you in the Mediterranean worth mentioning?
Well, one day we had to go up. There was a convoy all for Brindisi to Durazzo. That's just all.